So when I look at this question, the first thing I notice is the loud S2, the S4 gallop, the laterally displaced apical impulse, and that the lungs are clear to auscultation, okay? What's really important is the S4 gallop, this is almost always going to mean a stiffened left ventricle. It can sometimes refer to a stiffened right ventricle, but almost always it's going to mean a stiffened left ventricle indicative of decreased ability to expand, diastolic dysfunction, okay? It's almost always the result of increased afterload on the left ventricle. So you have systemic hypertension, or you could have an aortic stenosis or hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. But an S4 reflects diastolic dysfunction of the left ventricle and inability to expand. In contrast, which we don't see in this question, but an S3 reflects systolic dysfunction and inability to contract properly, and a dilated left ventricle. So we see the S4 here, and we see that the patient has, they tell us the patient has poorly controlled hypertension. The blood pressure is 162 on 102. So you know this patient has hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And we see that there's a loud S2. This almost always means a loud P2. So S2 refers to A2 and P2 combined, okay? The closure of the aortic and the pulmonic valves. A2 occurs slightly before P2. But the loud S2 almost always refers to P2, and P2 will be loud when you have pulmonary hypertension. That's what it means, okay? So when you say cut to the chase, like what does loud S2 actually mean? It means pulmonary hypertension almost always. It means the pulmonic valve is slamming shut because you have a high pressure distal to that valve in the pulmonary arteries. So I look at this question, I say, or I see loud S2, I'm like, okay, patient has pulmonary hypertension, increased pressure in the pulmonary arteries. I see the S4 gallop, I'm like, okay, patient has stiffened left ventricle. It could be a stiffened right ventricle, but as I said, it's usually left. I see the laterally displaced apical impulse, they're referring to the apex beat. That means left ventricular hypertrophy, okay? So you normally have the apex beat in the left midclavicular line, but if it displaces laterally, sometimes into the mid-axillary line, mid-axillary line, that reflects left ventricular hypertrophy. It could be in diastolic dysfunction. It could be in systolic dysfunction, okay? So that lateral displacement in and of itself doesn't confer any diagnosis or imply any specific diagnosis, but at the minimum, it tells us that we have an enlarged left ventricle. And the lungs are clear to auscultation, not hyper specific, but in general, we can say, okay, patient doesn't have pulmonary edema, left heart failure that might be ensuing. It hasn't reached the point where we have enough hydrostatic pressure in the pulmonary venules from increased backing up from the left atrium. We don't have enough hydrostatic pressure that there's transudation into the alveolar spaces from the pulmonary venules and pulmonary capillaries. So we don't have pulmonary edema is what it's saying, but it doesn't rule out that it doesn't say that we don't have left heart failure. It's just in this patient, there's no pulmonary edema. So for the answer to this question, when we look at ejection fraction, what this needs to be synonymous with in your mind for USMLE questions is that we will have decreased ejection fraction in the setting of systolic dysfunction if we have a dilated cardiomyopathy with an S3 heart sound, often with pulmonary edema, okay? That's not the case here. Ejection fraction is normally 55 to 70. In diastolic dysfunction, when we have an S4 heart sound, a stiffened left ventricle, and that this can be seen in hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, it can be seen in restrictive cardiomyopathy. By the way, don't confuse hypertrophic cardiomyopathy with hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy. Hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, HOCM, refers to the autosomal dominant mutation in beta-myosin heavy chain gene, asymmetric interventricular septum, where you have the anterior mitral valve leaflet closing off the left ventricular outflow tract. Okay, that's different from just HCM, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which we see with systemic hypertension, and we see a stiffened left ventricle. So if we have an S4, we have diastolic dysfunction. and we are going to have a preserved ejection fraction. US Simile really, really likes that, okay? Preserved ejection fraction. If you see an S3 heart sound, that's going to mean decreased ejection fraction. If you see an S4 heart sound, that's going to mean preserved ejection fraction. As an absolute, okay? Real life, there's a, you know, patients have a multitude. There'll be overlapping features, yes. But for US Simile questions, S3 equals decreased ejection fraction. S4 equals preserved ejection fraction. So this patient, we have diastolic dysfunction. US Simile wants you to know not only is ejection fraction preserved, but we also are going to have increased left ventricular pressure, and we're going to have normal left ventricular volume, okay? That confuses some students. They say, I don't get it. Like, if there's diastolic dysfunction, the heart can't expand. How are you able to get to the same volume? Yes, sounds kind of counterintuitive, right? But you do achieve the same volume, just it requires more pressure to get there. So diastolic dysfunction, preserved ejection fraction, increased left ventricular pressure, preserved volume, okay? In contrast, systolic dysfunction, such as with a dilated cardiomyopathy, we would have a decreased ejection fraction, we would have increased left ventricular pressure, and an increased left ventricular volume, okay? So endothelin, and I've talked about this before, endothelin is a mediator which vasoconstricts the pulmonary vessels. And this is going to be increased in pulmonary hypertension. So this patient has a loud S2, loud P2, so we know that endothelin is going to be increased. And there's a lot to talk about on this front, okay, as far as bosentan, which is an endothelin 1 receptor antagonist. It's a high-yield treatment for pulmonary hypertension. The confusing point here could be if you're aware that endothelin expression is increased in pulmonary hypertension, it might be confusing when you say, but wait, like if the etiology is left heart failure, like is that also going to contribute to an increase in endothelin? Like, are you sure endothelin just isn't expressed as some sort of like inherent lung condition? Like in other words, the etiology should be of the lungs themselves rather than from the left heart. What you need to know is endothelin is going to be increased, period, in the setting of pulmonary hypertension, okay? It doesn't matter whether the left heart's involved. This is high yield for step one NBMEs. If you have any pulmonary hypertension, period, they're going to want you to know endothelin is increased. So this question, answer, we have preserved ejection fraction, and we have increased endothelin. That's it.